You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Not even supposed to be here today.
Brian O'Halloran, you might know me from such iconic nerd films as Clerks and Clerks 2 and Vulgar and Brutal Massacre. Anyway, you're listening to the Flopcast with Kevin and Cornflake right here.
Live from Chicken Town. This is the Flopcast, episode 185.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Hey, Kevin.
Hi, welcome back.
Thank you.
We're in Thanksgiving week now, believe it or not.
Finally. I've been waiting a long time for a long weekend.
Yeah. Do you enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday?
To some extent.
Yeah.
I mean, I do like cooking, and I get to do a fair amount of that on Thanksgiving. And
mm-hmm.
Since I don't work in retail, for the most part,
yep.
Well, that's not even true anymore. How about you?
I enjoy it. I like the toast, the popcorn, the jelly beans.
You're stuck in the Charlie Brown special.
Oh, it's the best. I set up a big table in the backyard. I don't invite anybody. They invite themselves, my creepy friends. We have a little bit of Thanksgiving sort of related topics to touch upon later on, I think.
Yeah, I think our show is going to be quite festive this
week. It might be a little festive, just barely. First, however, we should kick things off with our 1985 edition of National Whatever Day.
Awesome.
For episode 185, we're looking at 1985, and we have each, once again, selected something from that year, and ideally it's something that we haven't really discussed on the show before. That's the wacky premise. Are you ready this time?
I am totally ready.
Oh, good. What do you have?
I took some serious liberties. A good way to make sure that we haven't discussed this thing relating to 1985 that I've picked is to make it something that actually didn't happen in 1985.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yep. I found a way. And I wasn't even trying. We do like our synth pop here on the Flopcast.
Oh, yes.
And I want to talk a little bit about Passion Pit. Passion Pit is out of Boston, and they released a new album this year. The new album is called Kindred, and the lead-off track was called Lifted Up 1985.
Oh, wow.
Are you familiar at all with Passion Pit?
No, I know the name, and I don't think I've seen them or heard them. And
wow.
That seems insane because I love synth pop, and we're here in the Boston area, and you're telling me this is a Boston area synth pop band. So what's wrong
that
with me?
That has gone national. Well, I'm going to make you like them even more now because
okay.
They wrote a song called 1985.
Yeah. Well, there's nowhere to go but up.
Exactly.
I don't know anything about them. I can't help liking them even more.
Yeah, Passion Pit has been around for a few years. I really liked their stuff. They had a song called Take a Walk, and they had a music video. And the whole music video is viewing the world from the perspective of a bouncy ball.
Right.
Just going across the world, which
is kind of
awesome.
That's how you view the world, isn't
exactly.
It?
Finally, a music video that I can relate to.
It's kind of how things look from the trampoline, I assume.
Yes.
Yeah.
What you may not know, since you're not familiar with Passion Pit, is their lead singer, Michael Angelikos, is a big-time Cyndi Lauper fan, which makes sense. He fronts a synth pop band. He
yeah.
likes Cyndi Lauper. In 1985, that's when Cyndi Lauper really took off.
Oh, yeah.
We've talked about that. We've talked about Goonies Are Good.
Mm-hmm.
That was the year that that came off. Now, if you listen to Goonies Are Good Enough.
Which I do.
Quite a bit.
Pretty much on a loop in my head.
There's that part where she says, hey, but it sounds kind of like a hiccup.
Yeah.
If you listen to the very beginning of Lifted Up 1985, check this out. He does the same vocal inflection thing as Cyndi Lauper. No, you've got this happy, upbeat, fun to listen to your song.
I don't know. They sounded a little depressed to me. I like music that, you know, makes you feel good. You have anything like that?
I got some Nirvana on here.
Yeah, that'll do it. That's more like it.
So the song is about the year that the lead singer, Michael Angelakos' wife was born in 1985. So he writes a song about that, but he does a nod to Cyndi Lauper. So my 1985 pick, though it's not technically from 1985, is Passion Pit with their song 1985. The whole album, actually, Kindred, is really good. How about you, Kevin?
My 1985 pick is a movie. So many classic movies came out of 85, and I just did a panel at Dragon Con about 1985. The movie that I picked is The Legend of Billie Jean.
That was a movie. I only know of that as a song.
You only know the sidewalk lighting up, right, with that little bass beat going?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all I know. There was a whole movie.
There was a whole movie, The Legend of Billie Jean.
Does it have anything to do with the song?
It does not have a single thing to do with the song.
Okay, now I'm confused.
Totally different Billie Jean. Billie Jean was Helen Slater, who we've heard right here on the Flopcast.
True.
All right, Helen Slater in 84, she played Supergirl.
Right.
In the 84 Supergirl movie. This was her 1985 movie, The Legend of Billie Jean. It's an odd movie, but it's Helen Slater as Billie Jean. Christian Slater plays her younger brother. They're not related in real life. This is a young Christian Slater, certainly one of the first times anyone saw Christian Slater. He had blonde hair, I guess, to match Helen.
And it was Michael Jackson's acting debut.
Michael Jackson might have been sneaking through, moonwalking in the background, perhaps. It must have caused some confusion at the time, now that you mention it, because 1985, Billie Jean is still all over the radio, all over MTV. And meanwhile, these people come along with their movie, totally unrelated. They should have called it Thriller.
True.
but you know, it was going to have a different title originally, because throughout the movie, Billie Jean, Helen Slater, she keeps yelling fair's fair because mm-hmm. she's trying to get an apology and get compensated for a wrong that has been done to her and her family. And everything spiral out of control. There's a shooting and they're running from the law. They're fugitives. Becomes a media event. It's this big, weird, crazy movie in which Billie Jean kind of comes to represent this kind of youth revolution. A very strange movie. But anyway, she's yelling fair's fair through the whole thing. And at one point, that was going to be the name of the movie. Because I was reading an old issue of Starlog magazine from like a year or two before, mm-hmm. and it mentioned Helen Slater was going to star in the upcoming movie Fair's Fair. So I wonder if it was a... Were they looking to cash in on the Michael Jackson, Billie Jean craze by changing the name of the movie?
Maybe, or maybe if I could just be opinionated for a moment, Fair is Fair would have been a lame movie.
That's
title.
A horrible name for a movie. You are absolutely right. But you know what? We keep hitting on pop music as we attempt to discuss this goofy movie, but the theme song of The Legend of Billie Jean is Invincible by Pat Benatar.
Ah.
You watch the Pat Benatar music video for Invincible. There are clips of the movie, and Pat herself looks really funny in this video because she's all dressed in orange, like giant orange coats.
Does she look like a big construction sign?
Yeah, she looks like a traffic cone.
That is weird.
Even her makeup, she's wearing like fluorescent orange makeup.
Whoa.
She looks great. It was 1985, it was Pat Benatar, it was fine. She went totally fluorescent orange, and you know, why not?
In the 80s, you could.
Yes, we will be invincible. So it was not a huge movie at the time, but I think it has a cult following happening now. Certainly for Helen Slater, it's a very cool movie, and you're coming right off as Supergirl.
I really thought it was going to be the movie where we found out who Billie Jean's lover was. I may still watch it.
And these days, of course, we want to see more Helen Slater on the new Supergirl show.
Absolutely.
As of this recording, she was still only just in that episode one for 5 seconds.
Oh.
But we're hoping for more. They'll bring her back. She's the real Supergirl. They can't stop her. No one can stop Helen Slater. And in 1985, we saw Helen in The Legend of Billie Jean, which now you know all about.
Cool.
She was a fugitive to the police. Won't anybody help us? A sensation to the media. And a symbol of courage to young people everywhere to fight for what's right.
Where is she?
Everywhere.
The Legend of Billie Jean, directed by Matthew Robbins, featuring Pat Benatar's hit song Invincible, rated PG-13. Starts Friday at a theater near you.
All right, kind of drifting into some Thanksgiving themes now, but we never did any Halloween follow-up.
It's true.
Due to the peculiarities of our recording schedule.
I'm wearing my costume right now.
Yeah, we should say it's awfully chilly here in the Chickentown studios today, and you are completely wrapped up in your... Well, you're wearing a Snuggie, is what I'm trying to say.
And it looks like the sky.
It looks like the sky with clouds.
And if you happen to see me at a mall, I dressed up and went like this to a mall with my Snuggie.
For Halloween?
I did.
Nice.
I was the sky.
Yeah. I'd be afraid people would just keep walking right into me. Or airplanes. Is that a danger?
Oh, man. Have an airplane fly right through my torso. Mm. That would be bad.
Believe me, that hurts.
But I was there with somebody who was dressed like a bee. So the person who was dressed like a bee was hanging out in front of me and looked like the bee was flying through the sky.
Well, that works then.
Teamwork.
But as we mentioned, though, leading up into Halloween, I actually did wear a Halloween costume this year, which is very rare. It's been many, many, many years. But Felicity and I went to a Halloween party, a great Halloween party. Yikes. Anyway, I was warning everyone leading up to the Halloween party, my costume is going to be so stupid. It really was.
Well, and you are a man that keeps your promises.
Oh, I did not disappoint. As far as being stupid. No, here's what I did. I made a turkey mask. I had to build the thing myself. I could not find a decent turkey mask. I would have happily just bought one.
I just can't imagine that those are in
large supply. No, because you can get chicken masks. You can buy a chicken mask all day long. They're everywhere. Everywhere you go, people are selling chicken masks out on the street. We've got neighborhood kids. They set up a little stand out there every day.
Wow.
You know, there's all those chicken mask specialty stores these days everywhere you look. I'm looking for a turkey mask. I could not find one. So I built my own turkey mask. Not very well.
Well, you've made some very clever inventions over time.
Yeah, I can do a little building, but I don't think I thought this one through well enough. It started falling apart, is what I'm saying.
Oh, you know, no.
The mask was compromised as the evening wore on. There's some emergency duct taping involved. I was trying to keep this thing together, but it was fine. Got the job done. What I was going for was a ridiculous-looking turkey head, and, you know, mission accomplished. Anyway, I combined that with the Iron Man has that glowing light on his heart, you know? I got one of those. So turkey mask and the Iron Man glowing heart, and I called that Turkey Stark. That was my Halloween costume. I told you it was stupid, Cornflake. My friend Liz from Boston Skeptics, she was at the party. She said right to my turkey face, Kevin, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I was in no way insulted. I completely agreed.
Well, it was original. Nobody else was Turkey Stark.
Felicity, by the way, because she's been totally obsessed with Xanadu lately, she did Olivia Newton-John from Xanadu.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and she even like rigged sort of fake roller skates.
I was wondering what she was going to do with the roller skates for getting around.
Saw her building fake roller skates? Yeah.
Her costume was great.
Meanwhile, I was Turkey Stark. But I was a little concerned that maybe people won't quite get what this is. So I made business cards.
What?
So I've got Turkey Stark business cards here so that I could hand people a Turkey Stark business card.
Okay.
I tweaked the Stark Industries logo slightly for Turkey Stark, and it says Turkey Stark, Senior Vice President, Poultry Division of Stark Industries.
Wow.
I've got business cards. So the thing about business cards is they don't like to print 5 of them for you.
Right.
Which I figured is about how many I might need, which turned out to be the case. I gave out 3 or 4 of these maybe over the course of the whole night. And the problem is they'll make you 250 business cards for $6.
Right.
Or 500 cards for $8. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it's like, how could you afford not to get way more cards than you could possibly need? What I'm saying, Cornflake, is that we have 500 Turkey Stark business cards. And you might notice I did sneak in some Flopcast information on the bottom of the card. So these can double as Flopcast cards, I'm happy to say. So they're not completely useless.
Please use them to enter lunch raffles.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Is,
win us some lunches.
If we're just out promoting the Flopcast, it would seem strange to then hand someone a Turkey Stark card.
Right.
So what I'm thinking, these can be more for like guerrilla marketing. We can just leave these around. We can just seed the world. Band-aid style with Turkey Stark cards. So,
and this is the time of year to do it.
Absolutely.
Very festive.
Any time of year, I'd say. So, So yeah, that's my
move over, Easter Bunny. We've got Turkey Stark.
Since by my rough count, I have about 494 of these cards left over since the Halloween party. So I've got a giant box of Turkey Stark business cards here. These are yours. Just
they're all mine.
Your Turkey Stark. No, oh, I've got my own giant box just like this.
So that box is for me.
I'm only sticking you with half of these.
Okay.
But just take them and, you know, leave them around.
You got it.
If anybody wants a Turkey Stark card, let us know.
You think I've been meeting some weird people up to this point? Wait till I start engaging with folks who get Turkey Stark cards.
Keep a few with you. Anytime if you see a bulletin board where people are tacking up their business cards, you know, or a table, people leaving cards out, Turkey Stark card. There you go. Throw it out there.
People just come up to me and start talking to me. I'm going to give them Turkey Stark
cards. This will solve that problem very quickly. So, giant box of Turkey Stark cards for you.
I'm going to hand it to them, and I'm going to say, here, you need this. And let them try to figure out why.
Yes. So that is the story of my Halloween, and I was Turkey Stark, and that's why we have these stupid cards now.
Wow.
Enjoy.
Yeah, if I must.
Now, while we're still on sort of a turkey theme, as we often find ourselves on a turkey theme, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was time to tell the world about Turksting.
You think they're ready?
Well, no, but they never will be.
Fair enough.
This might even be weirder than my Turkey Stark business cards. And you know what this is.
I do.
I've been beta testing Turksting for over a year now, I think.
It's been really hard to keep it under wraps all this time, actually.
Yeah, I've let a couple of people know here and there what's going on.
Yeah.
But this is something I've developed to replace texting.
Mm-hmm.
This is a new way to send messages to people.
Yeah, texting is... It's lost its...
That's yesterday.
It's lost its shine.
Nobody texts anymore. It's Turksting. True. Turksting is where it's at.
It's the way.
This is a Turks. This is T-U-R-X-T. Turksting. Mm-hmm. And very simply, instead of sending a text message... You send a Turkst message.
I'm going to do it to you right now.
Would you please?
I'm going to Turkst you.
So, Cornflake is going to send me a Turkst message right now.
Oh, and I can't send you that one. That would be inappropriate. Awesome. Let me pick.
I don't want to know what you're about to send me.
Here we go. That's my phone making Turksting noises.
So I should be receiving a Turkst.
Anytime now.
Any second now. This might not stop.
It sounds like you got a Turkst, Kevin.
So that's what it sounds like when my phone receives a Turkst. But yeah, you send me Turks all the time.
And they
often include pictures of turkeys. If you see a turkey in the world, you take a picture of it. You Turkst it to me.
And did you notice that this time I drew it?
Yes, this time it's a beautiful chalk drawing of a turkey. So the way this works, folks, is instead of sending a text, you send a Turkst. Just whatever you're going to be texting somebody about, just try to weave a turkey into the conversation.
Or a turkey noise.
You could call your friend a jive turkey.
You could say gobble, gobble, gobble.
That would work as well. Whatever you need to do. Send a picture of a turkey, that's even better. But if you don't have that kind of time and effort, that's fine.
I always have that kind of time for you, Kevin.
And people just enjoy getting a message about a turkey. It's way better than a message that does not include a turkey.
It's true.
Now, if you're like me and you're weird enough to set your phone so that the sound effect that it makes is a turkey, that automatically turns every incoming text into a Turkst.
Ah.
And so I only receive Turksts.
Aha.
I'm completely off the texting these days.
It's true.
Yeah.
You correct me every time I mention texting.
That's all I do is Turkst, and I've been doing this for over a year now.
I mention texting, and you say, no, Turksting.
I've been quietly beta testing this, and I think it works really well, and I think that it's time to blow this wide open to the rest of the world through this podcast that nobody listens to.
Do you get turkey pictures from people other than me?
Is this
taking off?
Yeah, it's huge.
Does anybody else send you as many turkey pictures as I do?
Absolutely not.
Awesome. Okay. I'm still in the forefront.
But give it a shot right now. Like, let's send a Turkst out right now.
Let's send it to Doornail.
Send a Turkst to Doornail.
Okay.
That's a great idea. Let's see what kind of Turksting replies we might get before the show is over.
So for the benefit of people who can't see me typing this, I'm
typing...
Which
is most of us.
Hey, Doornail. And in big capital letters, T-U-R-X-T. 3 exclamation points because I'm me. And I'm going to send Doornail a picture. She hasn't seen the chalkboard turkey yet, so I'm going to send the Turkst to Dornail. Oh, you know who else could use a Turkst?
I have a request. Can we Turkst the great Luke Ski?
Yes, let's Turkst. That's exactly who I was thinking. Yeah. That's crazy.
Well, you know, I tried to explain Turksting to Luke. I think it was back at MarsCon. My phone started making that turkey sound, and I held it up. I said, Luke, listen to this. I'm getting a Turkst. And I'm not sure if he knew what in the world I was talking about. So send a Turkst to comedy musician, the great Luke Ski.
Great Luke Ski. ... Big capital letters. Turks. I'll put a few extra R's in there because he's Luke and we love him. Turkst. And I've got a turkey picture. It is a turkey in a no parking zone.
You have so many turkey pictures.
It's hard to keep track of all the turkey pictures.
Well,
you
use them a lot, though. It's true. It certainly comes in handy. No one could fault you for keeping so many turkey pictures on your phone, because look at all the Turkst thing you've been doing.
Oops, I almost sent him a picture of a lobster. No, turkey. There we go. Who else can we send turkeys
to? That's probably
No, I'm not done.
At some point, we'll have to move on with the show.
Oh, wait. I'm going to send a Turkst to Lindsay.
Perfect.
Our friend Lindsay Smith.
Lindsay.
She's going to get a turkey.
Character designer on Mighty Magiswords.
She's going to get a picture of turkeys crossing the street. Lindsay! Turkst! I thought my phone would be, like, buzzing off the hook by now. Nobody seems to know what to say to our Turksts,
well,
Kevin.
We're putting out some feelers right now. We've got 3 Turksts have been sent out now, and we'll see if any come back in.
It's true.
Before the end of the show.
That could be fun. I think at this point people are just speechless. But I bet the minute we try to go on to talk about something else, all of a sudden people will be replying.
Well, let's try that.
Okay.
Because I do have one more thing for today's show. And then if a Turkst comes in while we're talking, obviously we stop everything. Cut straight to the Turkst, as the old saying goes.
Exactly.
All right. Well, you know, it's been 2 weeks since we did a convention preview spot during the show. That's way too long.
It's true.
One more convention preview to run through really quickly. This is the Northeast Comic Con. And I went to the spring or summer version of Northeast Comic Con a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they do the winter version as well. That is December 5th and 6th, and this is at the Shriners Auditorium in Wilmington, Massachusetts, where, as I recall, you once abandoned a dog or something. You had some, weird, horrifying story.
I didn't abandon it. I was cat-sitting.
Oh, okay.
In Winchester.
See how things change in my memory?
It's a Turkst.
You got a Turkst reply, huh?
And it's Lindsay.
Lindsay replied. What do
Lindsay Turksted back and said, oh my golly, there's so many of them. And put a big smiley face. See, that's the power of a Turkst.
That is to say there's so many turkeys?
Because I sent her a line of turkeys crossing a street.
Okay.
So, oh my golly, there are so many. And she's smiling. See, there's a smile emoticon there.
Yep. Everybody loves a Turkst.
Exactly. And this is what we're trying to tell the world. So there you go.
Perfect.
But you were saying Northeast Comic-Con? Sorry.
Northeast Comic-Con, December 5th and 6th in Wilmington, Massachusetts. This is a fun little show. Good old-fashioned comics convention.
Good old-fashioned Wilmington.
Yeah, in Wilmington. And it's Shriners. This is the Shriners Auditorium. This place is full of old men wearing those weird hats.
The nice thing about Wilmington is that it's not exactly a hot spot as destinations go. Plus,
it actually says that on the sign as you're driving into town.
The other nice thing about Wilmington...
Not exactly a hot spot as destinations go.
We have so many W places in Massachusetts that I bet people trying to get to Northeast Comic-Con end up in, like, Woburn or Winchester or Westboro.
Yeah,
or,
so it's good for the economy for the whole area.
Right, because people are showing up thinking they're going to Northeast Comic-Con. But the W town that has it is Wilmington. We want our listeners to know that.
And this is run by Gary Summers, who's quite a character. And this is the guy, people would know Gary Summers from the Antiques Roadshow. He was on Antiques Roadshow for many, many years as their pop culture expert. He runs the Northeast Comic Con, and a bunch of comics artists will be there, of course, but the main one...
Next message! Okay!
Cornflake, I think by the sound of Power Salad's Chris doing Tile Guy, it sounds like you got another Turkst coming in there. What do you have?
It's the great Luke Ski.
Hey.
He replied in all capital letters, OMG, gobble, 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 smiley face.
Yeah, see that? Luke knows how to Turkst.
I'm sorry. You were saying...
Oh, please. That was the plan. We get a Turkst, we stop. and we read the text.
People are getting it, though. Look, he replied, gobble, gobble, gobble. He knows.
Everybody knows how to text. This is huge. Where was I? Comic book artist.
Right.
George Perez is coming to Northeast Comic Con. This is absolutely one of the biggest names in comic books. For 40 years, this has been one of the top artists in comic books. And George Perez drew the New Teen Titans in the 80s. He drew Crisis on Infinite Earths, the Justice League, Avengers. He's drawn everything. And absolutely one of the greats, one of my favorite artists and everybody's favorite artists. I saw him at Dragon Con this past year because he goes to Dragon Con almost every year and he loves Dragon Con. I didn't see him at a table drawing. I just kept running into him everywhere I went. There's George Perez. He's walking around, checking out the costumes, taking pictures with everybody. Super friendly guy and a remarkable talent. George Perez. So it's a real treat to have him coming up this way for Northeast Comic Con.
Sweet.
Here's a weird name for a list like this, but do you remember Andrew W.K.?
Yeah?
Andrew W.K.
No! No way!
And this is like a hard rock, punk rock
smash your guy. Face with a brick guy.
He's good.
Yeah, he is.
It's punk style. It's kind of, you can hear the Ramones in his stuff.
Yeah.
But it's a bigger, heavier sound.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. Yeah, I was surprised to see Andrew W.K. on the list, but he will be there. In fact, they're doing a concert Saturday night, and he's going to be doing a solo set.
My friend Laura got me into Andrew W.K.
Wow. Well, he's going to be there.
Wow.
How about that?
That's awesome.
John Wesley Shipp. I think this will be the third convention I've been at this year where I will see John Wesley Shipp from the old Flash TV series. He was the Flash back in 1990, quarter century ago. And these days, he's the Flash's father on the new show.
I think he just finds out what cons you're going to on to be a guest there.
John Wesley Shipp has been stalking me all year.
You are right. John Wesley Shipp magnet, sir.
This is interesting, since it is the holiday season at this point, where it will be in December.
Santa?
I think there probably will be a Santa there.
That would be awesome.
Even better, though, check this out. You know A Christmas Story?
Yeah.
Like the movie, 1983, Christmas Story?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's seen it 8,000 times. They're doing A Christmas Story reunion. They're going to have four of the kids from A Christmas Story are going to be there.
Wow.
So that'll be cool.
Just going to make sure the dogs don't get the turkey this time.
I think one of them is the kid who got his tongue stuck to the flagpole.
They're bringing him and the flagpole in?
Whose statue I visited in Indiana. Last year, you may recall.
Yes, I do.
There's a visitor center in Indiana where they have a statue of this kid with his tongue stuck to the flagpole outside. I think he's going to be one of the Christmas Story cast members at Northeast Comic Con. Four of the kids will be there. Also, this, as we mentioned earlier this year, this is the 50th anniversary of Lost in Space, one of my all-time favorite shows.
Mm-hmm.
I have been devouring the new Lost in Space complete series Blu-ray set. It's amazing. Is there a Turkst coming in?
Hang on, it's Dornell. She's responding calling. To my Turkst.
Put her on speaker.
I'm putting it. Hey, Dornell.
Hello.
You're on the Flopcast.
Dornell, we are recording the Flopcast right now.
Michael can hear this too.
Hi.
Say something, Michael.
Who's that guy? Who is that? Who is that?
Hello, I got a text.
Michael is her turkey.
Dornell, I hate to correct you, but you did not get a text. You got what we call a Turkst.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
No. That's fine, but that's a Turkst, and what we want to do is encourage everyone to start sending Turksts from now on. Instead of sending a text, you send a Turkst. And it's just a text message that contains a picture of a turkey or some reference to a turkey.
So okay.
from now on, just try to weave a turkey into all your conversations, and you'll be Turksting.
Got it.
Yeah. You sound so excited about this.
Well, I just woke up from a nap, but the most exciting thing that happened to me since I woke up from the nap, other than the Turkst, is Michael saying, all right, let's go. And I'm like, where are we going? He's like, we're going to go get food. So, hooray!
That's good.
That's awesome. Is there anything you want to say about turkeys?
I'm looking forward to eating it at your Thanksgiving.
Great. Looking forward to having you there.
Yay.
It will be epic.
I think we are planning on bringing my carrot thing. And Michael, are you prepped for bringing green beans?
That sounded very tentative. You better make sure this guy knows what he's doing with the green beans, because he sounded very nervous, very sketchy there.
Well, I think that we will...
This guy doesn't know anything about green beans. I can tell.
My aunt.
Yeah. All right, you crazy kids. Thanks so much for responding to our Turkst.
And I'll see you soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye, Dorniel. Bye.
I'm waving.
Was that really Dorniel? That might have been a wrong number.
No, that was definitely Dorniel. Her?
Okay. Oh, good. I think you just invited a stranger for Thanksgiving.
Yes. Well, we're 3 for 3 now. We got responses.
Everybody responded to a Turkst.
And
normally those people do not respond to you at all.
Yeah,
you finally figured out.
Now I know how to make people want to hear from me.
Yeah, you send a turkey, people get right back to you. Where were we now? Lost in Space.
Yes.
All right, we love Lost in Space. It's the 50th anniversary, and they're doing a little Lost in Space reunion at Northeast Comic Con. Also, Mark Goddard will be there. He played Don West. And also, Marta Kristen, who was Judy, daughter Judy, as they say on the Jetsons.
Right.
Judy Robinson from Lost in Space. And all kinds of other crazy things will be happening. Our buddy Ken Reed from TV Guidance Counselor, he'll be hanging around all weekend as well, I believe. And I believe he'll be doing a couple of live editions of TV Guidance Counselor.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. See, Ken do his show live. He may have some of these people as his guests. I'm not sure.
Cool.
We don't know what's going to happen.
Well, that's part of the fun, I think.
Of course. So I shall be there. This is a fun little show. Northeast Comic Con, December 5th and 6th. Hope to see you there. Oh, if you see me, maybe you'll get a Turkey Start card. That'll pack them in, see?
Right. Try to avoid getting a turkey. Yeah. Just try.
Yeah, you might want to run the other way if you see me, or else I'll be forcing a Turkey Start card on you. All right, Cornflake, let's wrap up this strangely turkey-themed show and get out of here.
Yeah, this is one of the most bizarre shows we've had for a while, I think. But it was fun. Flopcast.net is our website. Find out more about Turksting there. And you can go to facebook.com/flopcast. Our handle is @Flopcast on Twitter.
Well, Cornflake, I hope you enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday with Dorniel.
Well, you know about half the things we're going to be serving now. And,
yeah, what a treat for our listeners. Get a little peek at the menu. It's exciting. I'm a little worried about that dude with the green beans. I'm not sure how that's going to go down.
It's okay.
Yep.
We'll figure out how to handle
them. Yeah, you might want to have somebody like a backup, you know?
We'll be ready.
In case this falls through. Have a plan B for the beans.
I think my dog Callie probably could handle the beans. Perfect. So she's got it covered just in case. And I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving too.
I think I shall. I'm doing something very goofy, in fact, Thanksgiving weekend.
Ooh, looking forward to hearing about that.
Yeah, but would you expect anything else?
Right? No.
All right, see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
Hi, this is Siri. I would never, never ever listen to the Earth Station One podcast. Who the heck says howdy anyway? Why don't you listen to Chris Hardwick instead? I can get you his information. The Nerdist is everywhere anyway, haha. That was a joke. The Earth Station One podcast. It's time to let your inner geek out to play. You can find them at www.earthstationone.com or up on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Peace, and we're done.
What's this? A piece of toast? A pretzel stick? Popcorn? What blockhead cooked all this?
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.